love to hear a little bit about biblical finances. I haven't really studied that much or know much. You can talk with Philip because I think that they can, he's waving his hand over there, because I think there is some space for a few individuals to join if they would like. So if that's something you're interested in and can be blessed by, please talk with Philip. Our Good Friday service is going to be Friday at 12:15, and we are partnering with the Evangelical Free Church here in Platteville. So instead of just doing one big ecumenical group this year, we're doing a few different groups just for, again, COVID reasons. But what's that? Did I say E-Free? I'm sorry, Free Methodist. Free was the word was in there that messed me up. Free Methodist, thank you. It is at Free Methodist. I don't need to be giving bad information. I will be doing the sermon there, and they will be providing the music. They have a great group that does music. I'd say not as good as ours, but they're still really good. So I hope you can join us 12:15 on Friday. We do try to keep this a fast service just in case you're working or have school. And so really it's like a lunch break. It's like 45 minutes, the entire service. So if you can make it, we'd love to see you at Free Methodist Church, 12:15. The other things up there are pretty exciting. We'll talk more details about them later. But we only have 35 days till we move into our new building. Does anyone else feel pretty good about that? I feel pretty good about that. That's crazy. Yes. And as you're clapping, we should clap for all the people who helped with the carpeting yesterday, because that was a big job. The carpeting is all in. Can you believe that? It's remarkable. I snuck in this morning just to take a little bit of a look at it. It looks really good. Looks really nice, so really appreciate everyone who was able to help with that. There's two things that we were thinking between, in these 35 days, these 5 weeks before we move in, that we should be working on. Number one, let's make sure we're praying for our new church building every day. You know, Satan is going to attack. Let's just be real. Satan is going to attack. And so we need prayer. We need prayer for just people to come. We need prayer against the forces of evil. We need prayer just for our own unity and safety and those things that we've been praying for all along. One thing that Lauren reminded me of when I was in Afghanistan is the last day is just as dangerous as the first day. And it's true with this project too. We're almost through, but that doesn't mean Satan isn't going to try to disunify us. It doesn't mean Satan's not going to try to attack. So let's make sure that we are diligent with praying for our new building. The second thing, since Rolling Hills Church, we want to be a church built on truth and relationships, I thought it would be a good goal for us to all try to do something with someone in the church that we've never done something with before. Or maybe somebody that we haven't done something with for a really long time. Whether it's invite somebody over to your house or go out for lunch together or have coffee. Find something that you can do with someone that you've never really had a chance to connect with before. And so doing it over the next 35 days is just another way to increase our community and to grow us as a church family. So we hope that you'll take that challenge seriously as well. And with that, is Tara? Tara, did you want to talk about the Rethink slide? Yeah, May of 2022, yep. We're so far ahead that it feels like we could do it by this May. Now, thank you for that, Tara, and thank you, everyone, again, because we know that God has just blessed this church with abundance and with generosity, and so we really appreciate that as well. We are ahead of where we need to be, and just God just keeps doing amazing things through everyone. It's just unreal. It's so humbling to be a part of this. Now I will turn it over for the missionary moment, and Craig will be doing that this morning.
Good morning again. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's my privilege to present today on the mission moment. And when we're done with that, we'll transition into some prayer time and some scripture reading. This morning, I'm going to introduce to some of you Someone you may not have ever known or met before. This is an introduction to a mission work that's, I would say, in its infancy. It's about to begin. Although many people have been working on this for a long time. I'm sure the Nadowskis would say that this is not in its infancy, but they are embarking as a family to move to a foreign nation and to go on the mission field. And they've been working on doing that for some time, but they're not even there yet. They're still here in Wisconsin. Some of you may remember Andrew. Andrew was a member of Rolling Hills Church. He was a student here at the University of Wisconsin, Platteville. He attended the Rolling Hills Young Adult or Bible or Student Ministry under Matt Zodro, who was a former elder here at the church. He came to know the Lord in that ministry. And Philip, our elder who's in charge of director of missions, was his RA in the dorm and still has a close and mentoring relationship with Andrew. Andrew moved from Platteville to the Madison area. He became an integral part of a church plant there in Madison called Red Village Church, a thriving church there in Madison now. He began his career. He moved to Janesville and met his wife. I'm not sure if he met her in Janesville, but he ended up in Janesville, which is where he lives now. He's married to Elizabeth, his wife. They now have four daughters, and they're about to leave the United States and go to Eastern Europe on the mission field. I'm going to try and catch up with where I was here. I believe the organization is Pioneer Bible Translators. That's the group that they're involved with. And they're going to Eastern Europe, I think, as I already mentioned. I'm not going to mention the country that they're going to. I'm not sure how sensitive that information is, knowing that our services are streamed live at times, or portions of it are. If Andrew wants to mention that next week to you guys, I'll let him. They're calling the people that they serve the Z people. I think that's code. So we want to be praying with them. I have an update. Andrew, I contacted him last week, and he got back to me. They will be here in person to speak with us here at Rolling Hills Church 2 weeks from today on April 11th. So we're looking forward to that. But I wanted to sort of introduce them and preface their arrival and their work. He did update me. He said that COVID-19 and the arrival of their fourth daughter did set them back. I think they would probably already be there if those two events hadn't happened when they did. But they've been delayed a little bit from their original departure, which was planned in 2020. But they said things are opening back up, and they are pressing forward in the Lord. They have raised approximately 88% of their one-time departure resources that they need to raise. They need to raise some money, probably, I'm sure, to establish themselves and move their household and their family over there. They've raised about 88% of that one-time departure support, and they've raised about 44% of their monthly support that they need to raise. This means that they have a bit of work to do before June. They are planning to leave the United States in June of this year, so that is coming up very quickly. They have seen the Lord opening doors and providing for them abundantly. Andrew has he's recently transitioned from his full-time career with a company that he's worked for 7 years. He is now a freelance graphic designer and photographer. And so he's working for a company, I think it's called Anchor Graphic Design or something like that. I'm sure he'll talk about that a little bit more. If you're in need of any photography or graphic design work, we know of a good man that can provide that service for you. So he's transitioned from working for that company to doing his freelance graphic design work. And he's also, of course, working full-time in raising the support funds that they need and preparing for his family's departure. They have teammates on the ground already, actively working with the Z people. They have another family on track to depart in April. And then 2 years of intense training on the ground in country ahead of them when they arrive there. There are a number of prayer requests that Andrew and Elizabeth asked me to share with you. We want to be praying for them. And so what I'm going to do this week, as a kind of a prompt and a reminder for you guys. On the Rolling Hills Facebook prayer page, if you're not a part of that, search it out. Rolling Hills Church Prayer Place, I think it's called. Or I talk to one of the elders. We can get you in. It's a closed group. I think we have like 40 or so people that follow us there, members of this church and former members. And it's just a place where we can post prayer things. And so this week, this coming week, I'm going to place these prayer requests there so that you can be in prayer for those specific things when in preparation of Andrew and Elizabeth coming here with their family to speak to us. Here are some of the things that are on that list today. They're praying, asking for prayer for the continual translation of Scripture into the Z language. They're asking prayer for God to send more workers into the harvest, for God to connect them with those he would have partner with them prayerfully and financially in their ministry. They're asking for prayer that they would speak boldly of the gospel as they ought to, that they would run with endurance as the season is very full. Also that we would have our priorities straight and be obedient to the call, for the health of our family physically, emotionally, and spiritually as they travel and arrive, and that I would prepare well for preaching and bringing mutual encouragement to Rolling Hills on April 11th. So I will, like I said, I'll be sharing those things on the RHC Facebook prayer place throughout the upcoming week. So check there for reminders to be in prayer for these things. And with that, we're going to transition in our time of prayer. As we have some pauses in our prayer time this morning, this will be a perfect opportunity to keep Andrew and Elizabeth and their family in your prayers, as well as the folks that they're going to be ministering to overseas. In the book of Judges, in chapter 20, verse 26, it says this: "Then all the people of Israel, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." And so we gather today as one people, gathered before the Lord ourselves, and we offer up our worship this morning. And so as a part of that worship, we want to be in prayer. Let's do that now. Let's bow our heads and go into prayer as a church body. Father God, we know that our physical self is most certainly connected to our spiritual self. Knowing this, we slow down our physical self and take some deep breaths, and we turn and we acknowledge the presence of you here with us, right here in this space. You are here, our loving Father. Let's meditate on that thought for a few moments. Lord God, as I turn my thoughts to you at this moment, I want to leave aside my chores, my to-do lists, and other things that are preoccupying my mind. I want to take rest and refreshment in your presence, Lord. Let's do that now. Listen to the words of Jesus. These words are found in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. These are the words of Jesus calling out us, an imperfect creations, from the perfect Creator. He says, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." End quote. Church, let's take a moment now to examine those things that might be defiling us, and let's confess those things to God right now. Lord God, as defiled and imperfect creatures, we have come to you, we have repented, we've asked for mercy. Lord, we find that mercy. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." How great is it for us to know that we are no longer defiled if we are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Take some time now to thank him for the atoning work that he's done for us on the cross. In the Gospel of John, John 3:17 says this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Father God, we want to pray now that you would use us this week, that you might give us opportunity to share what we know about Jesus Christ, that we might share this with people that we see, and we might see them come to saving faith in Christ. Let's pray now for all of those who might cross our path in the coming week. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We come to you now, God, and in the power of the gospel, we lift up the prayers of this body of Christ. We have experienced the change that comes to those who are washed and made new in Christ. Lord, make that newness real in us. Give me a heart of compassion for those with less. Lord, give me the skills and the desire to work to help those who are in need. Lord, give me the ability to love without expecting anything in return. That is what you showed for us and to the world on the cross. We want to ask today that our community might see that kind of servanthood through the love of your people here at Rolling Hills Church. We pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Matt has been preaching a sermon series on the healthy church. And today's passage is from 2 Timothy. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, it's beginning with verse 8. Kind of a humorous little anecdote. I was running very late this morning, and I asked Julie to read this passage to me in the car on the way up here. I believe she read from 1 Timothy, and it didn't make any sense at all. So it makes more sense when I got here this morning and looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, reading through verse 14. If you would, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Beginning with verse 8, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light throughout the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what he has entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This ends the reading of God's word.
Good morning again. Thank you.
Good morning.
No, before I go into the sermon, there was one thing I was just thinking about this morning as Craig was praying, and we are not the only church in Platteville, Wisconsin, and I meet with a lot of the other pastors, and a lot of the other churches in town are going through some very difficult things now. And so I just kind of ask that even as we're celebrating what's happening at Rolling Hills Church, that we make sure we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are in other churches, because COVID and other things have wreaked some havoc, and so they need our prayers as well. So I think that would be a very appropriate thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of the name Alexander Solzhenitsyn before, but Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a Soviet army officer. So Russia used to be the Soviet Union, used to be Russia. So he was a Soviet army officer who was arrested by his country in February 1945 for the horrible crime of criticizing Joseph Stalin in a private letter. Following interrogation, he was sentenced to hard labor for 8 years in the gulags. And upon his release, he was forced to live in exile. His health was failing. He actually had cancer. And his wife left him. She divorced him for being a political prisoner. Much more could be said about Solzhenitsyn, but he lived out his days as an author and actually won the Nobel Prize for exposing the evils of communism and totalitarianism. As an Orthodox Christian, he believed the crisis that created and sustained communism was not political, but it was spiritual. And he believed that one could not resist totalitarianism if one did not have their spiritual life in order. He gained worldwide fame after publishing Gulag Archipelago, and because of that fame, the Soviet government couldn't kill him. There was too much pressure. And so they banished him and took away his citizenship. On the eve of his exile, he published a final message to the Russian people called, "Live Not by Lies." Live not by lies. In the essay, Solzhenitsyn challenged the claim that the totalitarian system was so powerful that the ordinary person couldn't change it. Nonsense is what he said. The foundation of totalitarianism is an ideology of lies. The system survives only when people are afraid of challenging the lies. He said that we must never knowingly support lies, and that even though you may not have strength to stand up for what you believe, but at least do not affirm what you do not believe. You may not single-handedly be able to change the system, but you and your community can live in the dignity of truth. Solzhenitsyn believed that even when forced to live under a dictatorship of lies, the Christian response should be, "Do not let their lies rule through me. Do not let their lies rule through me." At Rolling Hills Church, we normally preach exegetically through books of the Bible, but with the exception of Easter next week and then the guest speaker 2 weeks from now. We're bridging that gap as we move into our church building with a topical series on what makes a healthy church. And as said before, the balance in this comes from us putting it all together, because every week we're kind of talking about one thing. And we've seen so far that a healthy church is an outward-focused church, and that it has biblical fellowship. A healthy church uses their spiritual gifts, and they use their wealth for the common good. And today, using 2 Timothy 1, 8-14 as our base, we see that a healthy church is a gospel-living church. Solzhenitsyn would say that it's a church that lives not by lies, but rather challenges those lies and lives in dignity according to the real reality, God's reality of grace and truth. And though much could be said about the lies we create within ourselves, even as Christians, today's sermon is largely going to focus more on the lies of society. But this is not to diminish the idea that gospel living must begin with each and every one of us. And yet, if I'm going to stand up here and say that a healthy church is a gospel-living church, we should probably make sure we know what that word means, that word gospel. Children, do any of you know what the word gospel means? At its most basic, do you know what the word gospel actually means? It actually just means good news. That's what it means. Gospel very simply just means good news. And in an extremely important way, we need to remember that all the Bible contains gospel, right? All the Bible is good news in so many ways. God creating us in his image is good news. God choosing people for his own is gospel. God relating to his people covenantally is gospel. God showing mercy when this covenant people failed is gospel. God disciplining is gospel. Rewards in heaven is gospel. Jesus coming to the earth is gospel. To be added to the church is gospel. The ability to overcome sin is gospel. True justice is gospel. Jesus coming a second time is gospel. So in one sense, the Bible as a whole is gospel. And the New Testament is the gospel of the Bible, you could say. The New Testament is the gospel of the Bible. And the gospel of the New Testament is the idea that there is redemption for the world. Because as far as I know, there is nobody who thinks that this world is perfect. We all know that some things are just messed up, aren't they? And so what we want to do is we want to try to fix them, right? Or we try to escape from them. But today's solutions are quite often tomorrow's problems, aren't they? And the reason that is because too often we try to do things our own way, which is, by the way, what caused the problem in the first place. Humans trying to do things their own way. Because in the beginning, God created the universe, right? And he called it something. He called it good. He called it good. And then children, do you remember Adam and Eve? Remember Adam and Eve, children? What did they do? They messed up. They sinned. That's right. They sinned. They thought they knew better than God, and being tempted by Satan, they ate the fruit, the forbidden fruit. They went against what God said, and that ended up bringing pain and sickness and suffering and death and wickedness into the world. And when we try to fix things our own way, we bring more pain and wickedness into the world. You can't fix what's wrong by doing things more that are wrong, right? You can't fix a lie by telling new lies. Doing things the human way instead of doing things God's way, is what broke it in the first place. And thus, the only way to fix it is by doing things God's way, right? But we're stuck, aren't we? We're not able to do that. And so what had to happen is Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth. He took on flesh. He lived the perfect life on our behalf. And then he died. He took our wickedness on himself so that we could be set free from it. so that we could follow God's design and then go back into the broken world to be able to truly make it better. Being part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And so the question, even before we dig into the depths of the sermon today, the passage is, are you part of the solution? Or are you part of the problem? We are part of the solution when we are Christians. And so we have to take a moment and reflect, have I asked Jesus into my heart? Am I truly a Christian who is able to do things God's way? And if you're not, if you've never done that, today is a good day to make the gospel of the New Testament the gospel of your very life. And so if you've never done it before, I must ask, what is stopping you? Because it's a free gift. It's received in faith. We can't do anything to be set free, but Jesus did it for us. And so if you've never done so, I'd ask you right now to pray in your mind with me, Lord, I'm messed up. I've tried too long to do things my own way instead of your way. So please forgive me. I want Jesus to enter my heart right now. I want him to be the Lord of my life and to be my Savior. I want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus died for the wrong things that I did and rose again from the dead to bring me life. Amen. A healthy church is a gospel-living church. But we can't be a gospel-living church if we haven't accepted the gospel as individuals, so that we truly are a part of the church. We can't live in dignity until we stop telling the lies to ourselves. And again, if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, or if you want to talk more about what the gospel means, I'd be very happy to talk with you after the service today, because there's a lot more that can be said than what I could say up here in a couple of minutes. And so that brings us to 2 Timothy and to not living by lies, but being a gospel-living church. So Paul is writing to his protege. Children, protege is a fancy word that means disciple or follower. His protege is an elder at the Ephesian church, and his name is Timothy. And Paul explains to Timothy what gospel-living means. By the way, in case you didn't know this, this is the last letter that Paul wrote in the New Testament. And he wrote it shortly before he was killed by his government. He was killed for being a Christian. And here is a summary of what Craig read earlier, and I am using the Matt Wunderland Revised Version. Verse 8, don't be ashamed of what the Bible says or of being a part of the church. Do hard things because of your faith. Verse 9, live for God. Verse 13, obey God. Obey what the Bible says because it defines reality. And verse 14, preserve and pass along the truths of Scripture. And you can do this because, verse 9, God called you for his purpose. And if God calls you, he will equip you. Verse 10, he's the powerful God that conquered death and brought us immortality. Verse 11, he chose you for something special. Verse 12, he's the one who ultimately preserves the true reality. He's the one who gives his Holy Spirit, verse 14, to ensure the gates of hell will never win. Things on earth are very bad for Paul at this particular moment. He's under arrest and he's about to be executed. Tradition said he had his head cut off. But he doesn't want his student, Timothy, his replacement, to quit. Live not by lies, Timothy. You may suffer evil, but evil can't take away what Christ has won. The totalitarian government of Rome cannot withstand the truth of the gospel. A healthy church is a gospel-living church. But the problem is, and we're seeing this more and more in our culture today, is that the world continues to try to fix the problems of brokenness with more brokenness. replacing truth with lies, and then replacing those lies with more lies. As a society, in my lifetime, we've moved from an imperfect, and it was imperfect, an imperfect Christian worldview to tolerating the Christian worldview to the idea that the Christian worldview is part of the problem. The world says that Christianity is one of the reasons society is falling apart. Do you believe that, children? Do you think Christianity is bad, kids? No, it's not bad. And at least for now, the world says that if we want to be a Christian in the privacy of our own home, that's okay. Nobody's coming for you, at least not yet. But don't bring your faith with you. Keep it out of my classroom. Keep it out of my work. You can't bring it with you. And then a lot of immoral behavior is being justified under terms that sound good, like equal rights, like social justice, like love. And there's no rational debating if you disagree, by the way. If you disagree with the lies, or even if you simply don't think it's the best solution, it's shouting and it's name calling. You're not disagreeing with what someone does, you're oppressing them. You're not calling people back to morality, you're creating hate. You're not trying to have a logical discussion and try to ask questions. You're shoving your beliefs down their throats, you Nazis. And as a result, Christians in America have made three mistakes. And I think we're all prone to all three of these and doing them at one point or another. First, far too many churches and far too many Christians have just rolled over and have decided to submit to the lies. Well, maybe the Bible is outdated. Maybe this passage of Scripture means exactly the opposite of what it says. Maybe to save the church, we need to be more like the culture. Big mistake. Lies are advanced through churches who submit to the world. Second, a lot of us just stay silent, don't we? For so long, it's sort of felt like in American Christianity, we've had the home field advantage, right? And so with this new stuff going on, we don't really know what to do. So we just kind of sit back and we take it and we just go along to get along, even if we don't really believe it. And we hope it's going to pass on its own. There have been other societies in history that have done that, and it doesn't work out too well for them. And it's a big mistake because when you don't challenge lies, the lies hold authority through silence. Third, some of us lash out in ways that are very unchristian. We ruin our witness when we lash out in unchristian ways. We act exactly like they claim we do, full of hatred and fearful and judgmental. And far too often, this camp also looks to political solutions instead of spiritual ones and can't seem to separate politics from the Bible. And what ends up happening, it ends up being all law and no grace. And that's a big mistake too, because that reinforces the lies. But a healthy church is a gospel-living church, full of truth and grace. To live in light of the gospel, as Paul wrote to Timothy, is to not be ashamed of what the Bible says. We must challenge the lies. We must live in truth. Killing babies is wrong. That's it. There's no but. Acting on homosexual or transgender feelings is sin. It's not love. Versions of social justice are actually oppressive. Not all, but some versions. But we can't just stop at truth, right? That's a mistake. We need to move into then love and grace. We can love people and still help them heal after they've had an abortion. Christ can forgive that sin. We can walk with people and even protect people who are struggling with mental illness or the temptations of sexual sins, so that they can find true peace, knowing that real identity is in Christ, not in gender and not in sexuality. And if our friends fall, Christ can forgive those sins too. And we can remind them of that. We can be strong against lies and still be loving to people. Grace and truth. To live in light of the gospel is to not be ashamed of the church. We don't have to hide right now to meet on Sunday morning, so let's not hide the rest of the week. Knowing that someone who's a friend is a part of a group like the church that you've tried to stereotype changes people's perspectives and challenges lies. We should say with pride that we are part of Rolling Hills Church. To live in light of the gospel is to do hard things because of our faith, and it is to live for God. You know, too many Christians today, we're trying to find a lighter cross, aren't we? We want one that's a little easier to carry than the one we've been given. But God has put us right where we are, and he has called us to what we are doing so that we can be a light in the darkness. And yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's uncomfortable to stare in the face of ugliness and be a part of the solution. To invite a homeless person into your house is hard. To walk beside a drug user is very difficult. To share truth on campus, to remain pure when the world says you're a prude. Living out our calling proves that the lies are not all-powerful. And they can be resisted. To live in light of the gospel is to obey what the Bible says and to believe how it defines reality. The world is trying to gaslight us. Kids, there's a famous play about that. You can look it up sometimes. But what gaslighting means is to make us not trust ourselves. The world is trying to make us not trust ourselves. For example, our culture says that you can't believe what your eyes see, and you can't believe what your ears hear, and you can't believe what biology says, because if I'm looking at a man and he says he's a woman, I have to say that's a woman. In spite of all the evidence to the contrary, the world wants us to question the real reality. It wants us to live by lies. We must let Scripture define reality. And immersion in truth protects us from the lies. To live in light of the gospel is to preserve and pass along the truths of Scripture. Truth is the only thing that can give people real hope. And real hope is the enemy of a liar. We may need to be cautious Christians, but we're never to be closet Christians. We must disciple our children. We must share the gospel with our friends and with our family and with strangers when called to do so. If you believe what the Bible says about hell, then we need to act on it. Sharing the truths of Scripture counteracts the lies and takes back ground from liars. Yes, media has gone off the deep end. Schools are tainted, and the government has a lot of problems. But we're not doomed. We're not doomed. Even from the human perspective, we're meeting in a government building right now. Right now. And yet, we can't help but notice that things are slipping here in America. The liars are getting louder. But even if things get worse, we're on the winning team. We have been called and equipped by God, the one who created the universe, who has power over death, who gives immortality. Look, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. We have the Holy Spirit, we have the Paraclete, we have the Helper working in us, working through us. We will be okay, even if our fate ends up like Paul's or some of the other martyrs who have gone before us. One day Jesus will return, and the problems of the world will go away. Creation will be redeemed, evil will be judged, and the wicked will be imprisoned. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. The dwelling place of God will be among all of us. In the meantime, are you part of the solution? Or are you trying to side up with the darkness to make the darkness not hurt you so much? Be a part of the resistance against the darkness. Find your identity in Christ. Do not let the lies rule through you. Live not by lies. God's reality is grace and truth, and it's the only real reality. A healthy church is a gospel-living church. Let's pray. Father, first we thank you so much for the freedoms that we have. Once we were slaves to sin, but you have set us free and made us slaves of righteousness. We can now resist the devil. We can now withstand the assaults and the lies of the world. But we need strengthening. We need your Spirit to work in us, and we need to put our efforts towards what you would have us do. Lord, too often we make those mistakes that I mentioned earlier. Too often we undermine our witness, we're silent, we reinforce the very things that we're afraid of. Forgive us for when we do that. Forgive us when we lack grace, and forgive us when we lack truth. Help us to find that balance in our lives. In the meantime, Lord, we do thank you for the many freedoms we enjoy. We are not in a Soviet Union type government. We are able to meet here in a public place. We are able to still speak freely of what your word says. And we thank you for that. And we pray for our society. We pray for our culture that this will remain. But we know, Lord, that you are refining your church. You are refining people. And so, Lord, whatever your will is, may we be on the right side of it. Father, a lot of the issues that I only had a moment to touch on are far more nuanced and far more difficult than I had a time to go into. May our default be to love those who are struggling with them. May our default be to show people hope and peace. Lord, help us to resist lies, but to love those enslaved by them. Father, in Joshua, he asks, "Choose this day whom you will serve." And he replies, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." May that be true here at Rolling Hills Church now and always, even if the grain of wheat has to fall and die in order to flourish. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for this short life that you've given us. May we use it to live for the gospel and glorify and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here at Rolling Hills Church, we celebrate the Lord's Supper on the last Sunday of the month. And so if you did not get a little cup with a wafer in it and you would like one, I know Bobby has some in the back there. The Lord's Supper is something we celebrate. It's for believers only. Even if you're not a part of our denomination, or even if you don't agree with every single thing I say, that's fine. If you are a part of Christ's body, we would love to have you celebrate this with us. And what we're going to do as this is being distributed is we're just going to take a few moments to reflect, and we are going to take some time now just to examine our own hearts before we go into our Lord's Supper passage today. Our Lord's Supper passage today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to read the shorter version, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you." So, if you can remove the wafer, which I'm not able to do right now. Go ahead and take the bread. Can't get it open. Continuing in the passage, in the same way also he took the cup. After supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us take the cup together, remembering what Jesus did, proclaiming his death together." Please pray with me. Merciful God, had you not come to this earth, lived the perfect life, and died on our behalf, Christianity would be meaningless. We come not as people who are here to judge, but as those who have been redeemed and saved. And we want to share that good news, share that gospel with others. Lord, help us to proclaim what you have done for us, not just on Sunday mornings once a month, but all the time, all week long, in all of our relationships. May we have the love to bring your gospel to those who are hurting and who are in need. Lord, we thank you for loving us, for choosing us, for saving us when we were still your enemies. When we hated you. You are so good. You are so merciful. Lord, we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in continuing with our review of the memory verse, again, some places talk about how important Bible memory is, and we do here at Rolling Hills as well. And so that's why we practice it. And we have been reviewing some of our memory verses from the past, and this week it is from March 2016, and we will be in James 1:25.
James 1:25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in doing. James 1:25.
Stand with me. Let's worship the Lord together. And I think we've gotten all the technical glitches fixed, so we should be able to have memory verses starting again with this next month. So, hope.
You be free from the burden of sin. There's power in the blood. that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun.
Father, we sing for all that you have done for us. You command us to sing to you. You command us to sing you a new song. And you command us to worship in spirit and in truth. And Father, we ask that you would empower us to do that, to do exactly that, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Knowing that our entire lives are acts of worship, that that is our holy and acceptable and reasonable act of worship to you, is to make our lives a living sacrifice. We worship you today, Father. We ask your will be done amongst our lives. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Whoa!
as we go forth to live our life for Christ. Just a few reminders that Friday again is the Good Friday service at Free Methodist Church at 12:15. So we hope you can join us there. Again, it'll be a, about 45-minute service. And then, of course, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. So I know some people will be leaving to go be with family. That's wonderful. And others will be having family come here. Easter Sunday is a great time to invite someone to church who maybe otherwise wouldn't go. So I hope you will consider that whether you're here or somewhere else. Otherwise, go in peace. Have a wonderful week. Just a reminder before I forget, we are supposed to still exit out the 4th Street door unless you're physically unable. So we're supposed to have one-way traffic as part of our agreement to use this space. So if you could please leave through the 4th Street door, again, unless there's something that's physically prohibiting you. Go in peace. There is one more song.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for?